Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Ted Santos, and I am your co-host of The Creative Alchemist, and we come to you live every Thursday from 7 until 8. And you know what we discuss. We talk about business, your business, the business you'd like to start, the business you are starting, or the company you work in. And we discuss business from many different perspectives. We always have a guest, and our guests have had expertise in as entrepreneurs and finance and project management, leadership, 401ks, and other money matters. So this week will be no different. We have a great guest, and he's going to talk to you about his expertise. You surely will not want to miss this one. If you'd like to call in and ask him questions, the phone number is 516-387-1640. That's 516-387-1640. Before we introduce the guest, you know I never take this journey alone. I have to always introduce my co-host, Lori. Let them know you're here.
Hello, everybody. It's Lori Miller from LGC Interior Design, and it's good to be back. Tonight's guest is also, as all of our guests, very interesting, but he's an award-winning design and advertising firm. So tonight we're going to meet Bennett Gold, and Bennett Gold is going to tell us a little bit about Gold 2 Creative and what it's like running a business, how he went from teaching computer graphics at BOCES and an intro to computer graphics class at Five Towns College, to opening Gold 2 Creative and the struggles and the wins that he's had along the way. So, Bennett, thank you for being our guest. We're ever so grateful.
Thanks for having me.
And, yeah, please tell our audience a little bit about you, what you do, and let's see how you got there.
Okay, so my name is Bennett Gold. My company is Gold Squared Creative. And I do visual marketing. So what that is, it's more of the design end, not so much the strategic end. I've been doing this for a little over 40 years. I started as a messenger right out of high school. I started as a messenger in an ad agency. And for you kiddies out there, a messenger was pre-fax machine and pre-email. There were actually people that would take things from one place to another, and that's what I did. I took merchandise, different merchandise that was in it was a department store at the time, Montgomery Ward's. So I would take different to these artists, and the artists would illustrate them. So on my downtime, I started playing around and I started doing a little bit of the illustration. It was all pen and ink, and I got pretty good at it. My specialty was handbags. So I did that for a while until, unfortunately, my boss passed away and the company closed down.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was tough. So from there, you know, I was young. I was about 19 years old. And I started working in an ad agency that did the Broadway show advertising. So they did the billboards, the playbills, the newspaper ads. And what I did there is I ran the photo stat room. And being in the ad agency, you know, again, on my downtime, I learned other things. So I started doing a little bit of design, started doing paste up and mechanicals. This, again, was pre-computer. You had to do things like typeset. It was much more complex than it is now. And I started picking that up. I moved up. I became a graphic artist there, stayed there for a while. And then I had the itch to move on, and I moved on. I went to a medical pharmaceutical advertising publishing company, and I was an assistant art director there for a few years. Then I was promoted to art director. stayed there a couple of years, and then I was living in the city at the time. My wife and I bought a house here in Long Island, and we didn't move into the house yet, but I was offered a great job in Westchester County. So I commuted to Westchester County for about 7 years.
Wow.
Yeah, got burnt out. Figured there has to be a better way. And I started doing some freelancing for different ad agencies in the city and here on Long Island. Started picking up repeat business. Was teaching at the time also. I was teaching Introduction to Computer Graphics at BOCES. And I got busy enough where I was able to start my business. And that was back in 1994 and still going.
That's awesome.
Quite a journey.
Do you remember how you got your first client?
My first client was actually American Business Forms. They were print brokers, and they specialized in forms. They just called me up. They got my name, by, I guess, from Yellow Pages. Again, this was a computer. And they did form. Now, I never did a form in my life. And I figured out how to do it. Again, this was, this was like before pre-made forms. So all banks, checks, invoices, those all had to be made. And it was very tedious work because I had to have the specific spacing. So when things ran through the printers, everything aligned perfectly.
Right.
And I started doing that, and I was making really good money doing that. It was a lot of referrals. You know, my business was really, I never did much advertising. It was networking and referrals. So, I've seen most of my clients from when I started aren't in existence anymore, it's been great. It's like, they come and go, you lose some, you gain some. Over the years, at one time I was doing a lot of menus and, that kind of changed. Then I started doing a lot in the healthcare industry and that changed. So, things just come and go. Now I just get all different types of things.
Right.
So why do people hire you now? What are they generally looking for?
Well, they're looking for someone with a good reputation. Of course, looking for price and expertise.
So what sort of, what are the outcomes? What are they looking for you? What do you do for your clients? What are they looking for when they call you? Well, you used to do menus. So what are the things that they're seeking now?
Okay, I could do something as small as a business card. To things like logo design, I get a lot of calls for logo design. Recently, I've been getting a fair amount of websites. I also started doing these little video ads that are great for social media. So I started putting those together. People like those. So, I'm trying to get that out there a little bit more. I also do a decent amount of direct mail. So, there are a lot of marketing companies out there. The majority of them are digital and digital only. So, I've been around long enough. I have a lot of experience. I know mail very well. So I could do direct mail for people. I could do, get addresses together for them. So I'm pretty knowledgeable in that field as well.
Okay. That's interesting because you were talking about how you did things before fax machines, before email, before Google and all those things. So people used physical phone books. You've seen quite an evolution. And one of the things with email and all kinds of ways to send mass emails, people don't pick up the phone or they don't use snail mail. So are you seeing somewhat of a comeback to people sending direct mail through snail mail, or is that still fading out more and more?
No, it's funny. I just wrote a blog about that. And it seems like younger generation is getting more and more into physical, print, like something you could actually hold, opposed to doing everything on a computer. I found that really interesting. But mail is great for certain areas, just as social media is really good for others. So,
right.
With direct mail, the good thing about mail is people don't receive as much mail anymore. You know, everything is email. So when you get something in your mailbox, you actually stop and you look at it. And if you have something maybe a little off size or, something with a really bright, colorful, something eye-catching, people are bound to look at it. And if you have the right message or a good call to action on it, chances are you may get some results.
So is your expertise, so you said something interesting. You said if it's eye-catching, right? So and if it has a good message. So is it your job to do the messaging and make it eye-catching, or you just focus on the eye-catching part?
I'll do both. I do work with a great copywriter. Myself, I'm good at headlines. I'm good at, the quick copy. My partner, copywriter, does the intricate writing. So she does more of the body text. But we'll do it both. We'll do the copy as well as the design.
Okay.
Typically when I talk to a client, they pretty much have in mind what their message is. I suggest to them, just give it to me. You could give it to me as an outline, bullet points, and, from that I could rework it, get a sense of what they're trying to get across, and then, actually put it down.
Okay. So, Lori, don't you think that's interesting? Because we had a marketing person last week, and that was one of the things that he talked about was that two things. He said people don't pick up the phone as much as they used to because of voicemail and emails. And he said picking up the phone is a good thing. And the second thing he said is direct mail, because people have kind of abandoned the direct mail over probably 10 plus years because of email.
Yeah.
He said direct mail was a good, sort of like rediscovering something old and it being a new thing to do. And now, Bennett, you're saying the same thing.
Yeah, take for instance albums,
they've resurrected.
They're all coming back now, big time, Yeah, but it's true, and I think people, if you're looking at print, whether it's a magazine or a catalog or even a book, it's just more relaxing to sit and be able to hold something like that. When you're looking at something on a computer or, a tablet, it tends to suck you in. You get lost. Think about something like Facebook. You go on there for one purpose, and an hour later, you're sucked into reading all this crap, when you have something in your hands, you could actually close it, put it down, and walk away. You're not having your eye drawn into every different direction.
Right, exactly. So you were talking some sort of, I guess it was like an advertising cartoon you had mentioned.
Yeah, there were whiteboard animation. What was that?
Yeah, I think that's what you use, animation. Yeah, can you explain what that is?
Sure. So did you ever see a commercial on TV where you see a hand drawing something?
Yeah.
That's whiteboard animation. So it's, so you're just seeing a hand and it's drawing the cartoon as it's going. I don't know if that wasn't very clear, was it?
Not so much.
Yeah, it's,
is it like you have a person's head and then it's on like a caricature body?
No, this is actually, you see a cartoon and there's a hand that's kind of drawing the cartoon as
okay.
it's going. And, and you have the message like that. But that's one type. That's called a whiteboard animation.
Okay.
Then there are others, like now I'm doing these little video ads, which could be anything. It could just be words put to music and motion. It could be shapes. It could be, you're an interior designer, you could have images of the rooms that you designed. And these are all done within like a minute. So it can be set, you could talk or it could be set to music.
Mm-hmm.
And, they're small enough where you could use them in e-blast. You could post them on, the different social networks. And they work out really good. You could just keep repurposing them. People tend to really like it.
Hmm. Very cool. Could you send an example and I'll post it on my social media?
Sure.
That would be great. I mean, even if you do like one for your company,
Yeah, I could email you one.
I think that would be awesome. And then people, we can all see what that looks like because I think, that could be fun, too. I mean, I love animation.
Yeah,
it's just a personal thing.
They're just quick. And, when
mm-hmm.
you post your ratings on, on the computer, on Google.
Right. And do you also do, like, the TikTok videos, or is that a different form of marketing?
That I don't do.
Okay.
That I don't do. I mean, if people come to me and say, do you do this, even if I don't do it, I'll say, I'll look into it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times if you could do one thing, you're able to do the others.
Right.
So, Lori, imagine you're drawing a story, right? And so you want to talk about the economy. And when you're talking about the economy, maybe you're going to draw pictures of people buying something in a store, and then you're going to draw graphs showing charts going up. Well, while you are talking, simultaneously what you see happening in front of you is, usually I've seen it only in like black and white. It's like a pencil drawing on a whiteboard, and it's drawing the charts. So it's bringing it to life. While the voice is speaking, a narrator, the people are being drawn instantaneously, but it's happening very fast. The charts are
right.
being drawn. So the story and the narration it's almost like watching musical notes being drawn while the music is playing, but they're drawing pictures of people and charts and things to illustrate what's being narrated. Is that a good way to say it,
yeah,
Bennett?
That was good. As a matter of fact, Lori, I did one a few years ago for Wendy. You knew Wendy Interior?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, so I did one for her. I guess it had to be 5 years ago at least, if not more.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but, these are good. Like, one of my clients, she's an elder care attorney. And she does things like trusts and wills and, you know, power of attorney, all those type of things. But, you know, they really, it's hard to understand exactly what it is. So I did a series of these little animations for her, and there was one about trusts. And in 45 seconds, with the cartoon, it gave you a whole synopsis of what it is, you know.
Right.
Then I did another one for wills, and, you know, within a minute, it explained it very clearly. Yeah, and they're just, you know, they're really, they're just good. They're just, you know, you could digest them really easily.
Right.
Yep. They are good. Yep. You were going
That's
to ask me something, Lori.
I was going to ask, when you do a website, what, like, program, like, I know, like, as a layperson, right, it, the website, I think, is the hardest thing, and it's really difficult to navigate, but I know that there's WordPress, Squarespace, and a few others, and you said that you do websites, so, you know, what's your preferred website, and what's the difference? Like, can you tell us what the difference between, I guess, hosting and then where your website sits?
The hosting is where it sits. You know, so it could be like GoDaddy or, you know, if you use Squarespace or, you know, any of those. So that's the home, you know, that's, and that's what your domain is connected to, you know, so it's like, you know, whatever your website name is would be connected to that. I used to do a lot of WordPress, and then I started using Wix. And the reason I started using Wix was a lot of my clients are attorneys, and they like to be able to go on and make their own adjustments to the site, you know, add a blog or, you know, edit something, or if a new attorney comes on, they could add them. And Wix was just a really easy platform for them to use. So right now I started, you know, I would say 90% of the websites I do are on Wix. Most of my clients aren't looking to be, you know, number one on in Google. You know, they're not looking to be that top feature on, you know. So, you know, it's just, it's a good platform. You know, you have a lot of options. You could do forms on there. You could do e-commerce on there. It's really pretty flexible. So I kind of got stuck using that one. You know, I also find, you know, in the past, like I worked on WordPress sites and things like, you know, if you have like little videos or something, well, all of a sudden they'll stop working and, you know, you don't know why. And then you have to start looking into it and figuring out why is it, you know, so it just became a headache, and I never had that problem with Wix so far.
Right. Very interesting. Ted, you had questions?
Sure. So we were talking about how direct mail is coming back, making a resurgence. You know, we've sort of watched this life cycle. You know, at one time, even at home, you would receive a ton of mail, junk mail in your mailbox. So what I'm curious about, Bennett, is you've been in this creative design, right? And then you told me initially you wanted to be an architect, which is still around design and drawing. So what's it been like, and what have you seen in terms of the evolution of the whole creative designer industry?
Honestly, I can't see it evolving much more. I don't know what else they could put out there. You know, I think as time goes on, things become simplified. And even, you know, I look at websites. When websites first started, they were really complex. People had 100 pages. They had music going on. They had things moving all over the place. You don't find that now. But, you know, people, you know, our attention span is like nil. So things have to be really quick. And that's what I'm finding as far as design things. Everything is just quick. You got to look at it. If it catches you within 3 seconds, great. If it doesn't, oh well. And, you know, I'm finding that in everything, whether it's on the website or whether it's in print. That's the whole thing. You have to just grab their attention. And, you know, it's always been like that, but I find it even more so now.
Okay. Now, I can see that for sure. As a practitioner, you were saying that you learned to do everything by hand, and I assume so much is automated now. So, like, what's it been like watching that evolution? Are you like one of the sort of old school, still like to do it by hand? You know, like the sort of old school accountants still sit down with, you know, pen and paper. They don't use computers. They write out balance sheets and all that. So, have you witnessed that, like, how everything was done by hand and now it's automated and now you have AI? So what has it been like watching that? And what have you seen?
Well, I still use a chisel and stone, but you know, when I design stuff, 90% of the time I'll sketch it out first. You know, I'll do like a really rough sketch. I know a lot of people jump right onto the computer and go at it, but, you know, I still kind of sketch it out, get my idea, and then I'll go onto the computer and do it. The computer, you know, it's great for a lot of things. It's, you know, I mean, it really, it's an awesome thing. I don't find it as enjoyable as pre-computer. You know, prior to computer, I mean, it was, you know, it was an art. There was a lot involved. It wasn't just having a good eye and being able to design, but you really had to execute it and know how to have things sent to a printer, how we be able to read a color proof to make sure the colors are correct. It was just a lot of detail. Now it's not so much. And I also find people don't care as much for certain things. Print, for instance, print used to be, people really would spend a lot of money on having things look great. You know, they would get all different types of paper and different ink effects. Now, for the most part, everything is just run out. You know, it looks good, but it's just, it doesn't have all these different type of details like they used to. Hope that answered the question.
Do you think there's an opportunity? Do you think that presents an opportunity for people like you? Since even the people in the marketing industry are seeing that direct mail is making a comeback. So do you think someone like you who has that old school training and understand the details, do you think that gives you an advantage in with your clients and creating something that can stand out?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think it's an advantage. I think my biggest challenge is I don't have, you know, like younger generation now, they know their social media. They love that. They eat, sleep it. I don't. I'm not one of these people that really push social media so much. I'm still more old school in that way where, you know, direct mail, printing, even e-blasts, you know, are still the best way to go.
Okay.
E-blast. Okay. Yeah, I never look at my e-blast. It's so funny. So I wouldn't think that that would be the way, but I guess a lot of people do.
You know, with an e-blast, the most important thing is the subject line. You just have to have a really good subject line because that's the first thing you see. Yeah.
So,
you know,
Do you want to share some good subject lines?
Yeah, I mean, it could be anything, you know. It could be just off the beaten path, you know. It's just, again, it depends who you're sending it to, but, you know, it just has to be a catchy, you know, because that's the first thing you see, you know. And if it doesn't catch your interest, you're not going to open it.
Okay. I can see that.
Right.
Okay.
So, I know that you had said, like in your bio, it says award-winning firm, which is so cool. And you said you've been doing this for like 20 years or 15 years?
No.
A long time, right?
I wish it was only that. I've been on, you know, I started right out of high school, so I've been doing this 40 years now.
Oh, see.
Yeah, I've been doing this, you know, my business has been around since 94.
Wow. And
so go ahead, you guess what?
No, go ahead. What was that like?
Oh, so you transitioned into an entrepreneur at a fairly young age.
Yeah, I was, looks like 34.
Okay.
I started this.
And being an entrepreneur wasn't it wasn't as big a deal as it is now. So you were the pioneer, you could say. What was that like making that transition from being an employee? Because you worked for some ad agencies, you did a number of things, pharmaceuticals. And then Lori asked, you know, how did you get your first client? So was that sort of a scary, was it a major transition in your life? What was it like going from being an employee to an entrepreneur?
It was really scary. You know, I was 33, 34. I had two young kids. Just bought a house, you know, a few years prior. So, yeah, I mean, it was scary. But, you know, thankfully my wife also worked. You know, she taught. So we had an income coming in there. And we also had benefits, you know, great benefits, health and all that, especially when you have children.
Right.
So, you know, that was a huge help. And, you know, and it just took a lot of discipline. You know, you always worked out of the house for the most part. And, you know, I just had to really train myself that, all right, it's a job, so these are my hours. I'm going to work from 8 to 6. I'm going to take weekends off. I'm going to take vacation. I'm not going to let kids coming and going interrupt me. You know, and you just have to really discipline yourself. And, I kind of laugh now because I see all these people since the pandemic while working from home, and it's like, such a big ordeal, and I'm like, it's so natural.
Right. Like, that's not a fun thing.
Yeah, it's like, you can't, people stop, they'll do their chores, they'll do, you know, housework, they'll do all these things, and, you just can't let yourself veer off like that. You have to stay on track.
Exactly. So, you know, I was going to ask before, right, because, listen, business is an up and down sort of task, right? It has its moments. So I'm wondering if you can talk to our listeners about maybe some of the challenges that you encountered over the last couple of years. I mean, obviously, COVID, we talk about that a lot. And Ted and I started the podcast during COVID. And then, you know, we had – I don't know, when we had the Hurricane Sandy or Superstorm Sandy, as people say, you know, that must have been certainly an effect. What do you do with downed trees and wires? And, you know, you're trying to help people, and it's a huge catastrophe. So, and then there are other challenges along the way that I'm sure you've experienced. So,
there's definitely challenges. But it seemed, thankfully, for every challenge came a reward.
Mm-hmm.
So far,
okay.
Even, I'll take for instance Hurricane Sandy.
Mm-hmm.
That really put a damper on my business until
mm-hmm.
about 3 months after the storm, when people realized all their printed material was ruined and they had to get it all redone.
Uh-huh.
So that kind of, and I was, I had a client that did remediation. So they did a bunch of mailings, hurricane damage, mold, all of that kind of stuff. So my downtime was, it was scary. But, I just had to hold my breath, get through it, and, thankfully things picked up. Years ago,
did you do anything different during those times to kind of keep it picked up, or like, were you proactive? Did you have to do anything different? Obviously during COVID, everybody called, we call it pivoting, right? So everybody had to go from what they normally do, and they had to go to Zoom, and they had to go to social media. And so was there anything that you did that was different that helped you to kind of get through it?
I took the, when I had time, I was learning things. I was just teaching myself new things, like these videos, going into my own stuff, fixing up my website, doing all the, my own business stuff that I always put aside. So I was catching up
mm-hmm.
on a lot of that.
Right. So you were doing the things that you would tell other people to do.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, right? Because, take a revamp your medium, revamp your website, revamp your, do some mailings, do whatever you can.
Yeah, so that's, that's what I was doing, housekeeping, and, and again.
Right, which is big.
It wasn't, back to losing and gaining, I have a fair amount of restaurants as clients, and, I lost, of course, a lot of business there. But then
uh-huh.
I have a lot of attorneys, and attorneys could work from anywhere. So, I was getting a bit more work from them. So that kind of counteracted, losing the restaurants. I was getting more on the other end.
Right, so it's a good balance.
Yeah, I mean, there's always, I don't know, again, things always seem to work out. You just have to
work out.
Yeah, you just got to be patient. I remember when I first started this business, again, this was, the real scary time. And, you didn't know when clients were going to pay you. And it was just, it was really scary. And I remember Suffolk County changed their area code. And when we changed the area code here, I was bombarded with business because everybody had have all their letterheads, all their ads, everything that went to print, they had to have redone because they have a new area code. So that was
right.
a blessing because, I was in limbo, I was somewhat busy, but again, when you're in your own business, you're not getting paid a weekly paycheck.
Right.
And when you're new in business, you don't know who pays on time and who doesn't pay on time. So, that was really all new to me, that earning an income that way. So, when this came about, it was just great. It was just, done deal.
Would you say making that transition from employee to entrepreneur and not always in the beginning. Well, in the beginning, you didn't. There was no paycheck, like you said. As an employee, you know you're getting paid every week or every 2 weeks. You know that's going to happen. As an entrepreneur, you don't have that security blanket. And you said you had two children. You purchased a house a few years ago. You had a wife. Even though she was working, your household had become accustomed to two paychecks. So now you've got one, and who knows when the next, one will come. So would you say that was one of the biggest challenges is dealing with the income aspect of being an entrepreneur?
Yeah, that was definitely one. You know, my saving grace was before I decided to come out on my own, I put a fair amount of money away. So, that helped.
Okay.
I would say probably within a year or two, it almost became like, a dependable amount of money coming in every week, every other week. So, it didn't take too long before, I had a somewhat steady flow of money coming in.
So what did you do to ensure that you had constant business? Like, how did you... You said you had referrals. I understand that. In the beginning, though, did you make cold calls? Like, how did you get consistent new business for the first 2 years?
Well, it was really referrals. That really is, I mentioned I did a good amount of work for print brokers. Well, they all seem to know each other, so I was getting a lot of work from different print brokers. Then I started doing some networking, and that was really my means of getting business, networking and referrals.
Okay. And some people finding you in the old yellow pages.
Yeah, well, that was when they had them. I don't know if they even have them anymore.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know if they have the yellow pages anymore either. It's so funny.
Yeah, I don't know. But I know, like, years ago, I got somewhat involved with the Huntington Chamber. I tried different outlets like that. And I picked up a fair amount of business.
Okay. At some point, everyone needs something current.
Excuse me?
Yeah, exactly. Go ahead, Ted, to repeat that.
At some point, everyone needs something printed, from business cards to letterhead, direct mail. So at some point, most businesses need something. And even you talked about how invoices, people would actually, you would print invoices. So there were lots of things for you to design and print. So.
Yeah, I think now, there's just a lot of competition out there now. People will go for printing, they'll go on to Vistaprint. If they sit and talk to me, you would realize I probably charge the same, if not less, than Vistaprint, plus, the files will be set up correctly, there's a person to actually talk to, so I have a lot of competition like that these days. That's, since the website came to be. Same thing with doing websites. A lot of people, they'll go on something like Fiverr or one of these places where they just send it out across the world. Whoever's the cheapest, that's who they hire.
Yeah.
And,
right.
But again, I would say 50% of the time, most people regret it, because there are issues. They can't get hold of the person who created the art or the website. There are language barriers. So, they try to save money, but in the long run, they're spending more, because a lot of times they'll come to me and say, can I fix this? And I can't, you know, I'm not going to jump into somebody else's, mistake and try to make heads or tails out of it. It's almost easier and cheaper for me to just do it from scratch and start over.
Interesting. Lori, you were going to ask
him something? Yeah, I hear that a lot. Yeah, I'm just commenting also. You know, I do hear that a lot, especially with websites. Like, it's just easier for someone to start over and less expensive than it is to fix whatever someone did previously. So that is a common report, we'll say. Yeah, I was kind of just wondering how much of your business is print versus how much is digital now? Is it 50-50? Are you still more digital or, what do you do more of? And then if you're saying you do business cards, then you're also doing graphic design as well.
Yeah, well, I would say it's probably about 50-50, I do a lot of, e-blasts. So I'll create, I have a client, she's a clothing designer. So I'll do all her, I'll design it for her, put it on Constant Contact, and then she goes and she sends it out to the masses. I belong to a remodeling organization, so I do all the artwork for them, put it together. They blast it out. So I don't do the actual blasting for them, although I can. If they do it themselves, I just create the graphics for it. Same thing if I get hired to do like Facebook ads or LinkedIn ads, I'll create the artwork. I'll send them the files and, they could take it from there.
So you still do quite a bit of design, like graphic designing.
Yeah, I do a lot of, I would say 75% of my business is, the actual design. What I do is I always, whenever I create something for a client, I'll always set it up where they can have it printed and they could have it digital. So, they can have some newsletters printed if they like. And I also send them a PDF file so they could, or a JPEG file, whatever they desire. So, I'm always have it ready to go both ways.
Interesting. Right. Yeah. So you design newsletters also from a graphic perspective.
Yeah. Anything, pretty much anything the eyes go on, I'll do posters,
right.
Newsletters, catalogs, journals, book covers. I just designed a book cover.
That's very interesting. Wow. So are newsletters still big?
Yeah, they are. I don't do too many printed. I do a lot of the digital newsletters. But,
right.
There are some nonprofit organizations that I do work for, and, they still mail them out.
Okay. Now, have you, you said you have also done some digital work, some videos. So maybe I'm just making this up in my head, but has anyone transitioned from a digital newsletter where it's printed out to doing a video newsletter where it could be the caricature or just someone recording, visually talking?
That I haven't seen, but that's something I could look into. Yeah, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, that would be
like I said, I just made that up in my head just now, just listening to you. That's kind of
you may want to trademark that.
It might be worth it.
We're gonna split that, right?
Wink, wink.
I think that I would wonder if that would be an interesting opportunity for people, like where like you were saying, the cartoon drawing and saying this is our newsletter, so you could make the newsletter much more dynamic. I could see that happening.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did newsletters for people where, like little videos were embedded into the newsletter. You know, so if you're like looking at a newsletter and you would see a photograph, like the little photo was an actual video, but the overall newsletter,
okay,
I never saw move around. But that's something that could be pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm thinking that's very much like Harry Potter, right? Because they got the newsletter, but it was like animated.
Right.
So, yeah. Pretty cool.
Sorry,
good concept.
I never saw Harry Potter, so I'm in the dark about what you're saying. So I, but
no,
I'll
you're
just go
ahead
with
of
it,
your
so.
Time.
It's one of those. You had to be there, right?
Uh huh. I'll send you a piece of that for sure. So
okay.
One more question. Do you only work locally, or do you also work, like, you know, nationally or wherever people are?
Oh, no, I could work anywhere. Yeah, that,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have a client in Virginia. I have one in Massachusetts. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I have clients. I have local clients that I never even met, you know.
Right. That's great.
I was mentioning I have this clothing designer, and I talk to her all the time. She's been a client for about a year now, and
mm-hmm.
I just met her in December. You know, that was the first time I met her.
Wow.
And, you know, so, yeah, it's strange.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, so I, you know, I do like to meet the people, though, you know.
Right. I mean, that's really good. So if people want to get a hold of you, where should they go?
They could go to my website.
Uh-huh. Which is?
gold2creative.com.
Right. Okay.
They could email me at Bennett, B-E-N-N-E-T, at gold2creative.com, or they could call
mm-hmm.
at 631-805-4634.
Very good.
So,
Very good.
I have a question. If someone wants to hire a graphic designer like yourself, what should they be looking for to ensure that person is qualified for them?
Well, first, I would have somebody come and sit and almost, you know, give them a small project and see what they could do. You know, when I was hiring people, I contacted a lot of the local colleges that had supposedly had really good graphic design classes. And, you know, they sent me people. I looked at their portfolios. Then when I put them to work, I was really, like, mortified. So I think, you know, if you're looking to hire somebody as a full-time graphic artist, I really would, you know, I would have them create something for you, you know, whether it's on your premises or, you know, preferably on your premises or, you know, have them do it on their own and see what they do. You know, give them a small design project. You know, design a business card.
And what are the things that someone should look for to know if the person is good? Because you were mortified, but we could say you're a master in your craft. You know, 40 years is a long time. So someone who's a novice, or not even a novice, they're just looking for someone to do the work for them. What should they be looking? What are the qualities, characteristics, or anything that you think they should be seeking in a good graphic designer?
Well, you know, depending on the place, you know, for instance, if you use the program Photoshop a lot, I would give them a project to do on Photoshop. I would look at how they built it. If if they knew, like, different resolution. You know, you could look at what somebody created and kind of see if it was done correctly.
Okay.
You know, just like if you're, you know, if you're creating something for print, you have to do it one way. If you're creating something for web, it's done completely different. You know, the colors are different. You know, so, yeah, I mean, you know, most people, I think, if they know the programs, they would be able to tell if things were put together correctly.
Fair enough. Great.
And that's fair. Well, Bennett, thank you so much for coming on. Is there any last-minute tips, tidbits, anything you want to share with the audience before we close up?
Nope. You know, if anybody would like to talk, you know, please reach out. Thanks for having me. Hope I didn't bore you.
Never.
No.
Yeah. Thanks again. And, you know, I'll be speaking to you soon.
All right. Thank you very much. And everyone, we'll see you next week.
Yeah.
Have a great night. And we'll have a great weekend.
You too. Take
Thank
care.
You.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Bennett.
Bye, everyone.
Have a great evening, everyone.
You too.
Good night.
Bye.